Welcome back to the Charlotte Angel Connection, the Charlotte area podcast linking entrepreneurs, investors, and the broader Charlotte community. As you know, our goal here is to interview the individuals who are building, shaping, and influencing entrepreneurship in the Charlotte region so you can stay invested in Charlotte's growth. Today, we're going to bring Pete Fallow, who is the founder of TPG Sports Group. It's a company he started after being a scout for several teams in the NBA. He also played in the NBA, or he also played overseas professionally. He helped organize the first Chinese Olympic team. He was the initial point person for Reebok's Euro Camp. He's organized scouting events across the world. Really, really sharp guy. He also happens to be a fan of Shark Tank. Makes sense after working for the Dallas Mavericks in their scouting department. And wanted to bring that concept to the sports world. So 5 years ago, he started it. He left. Initially, it was here in Charlotte. He left, went to New York City because that's where the money was. But he's now bringing Sports Tank Innovation Studio back to Charlotte. From here on out, it will follow the NBA All-Star Games. It'll be in the same city as the host of the NBA All-Star Game. It will kick off a 12-month incubator accelerator program for those companies. This year, again, there are five companies selected from over 300 across, I think he said, 16 countries. So demo day will be right here in Charlotte. You'll have sports executives, agents, former players, owners, and all kinds of people that will be here in town for the NBA All-Star Game, who will also be at the demo day. So it's set up to be a really cool event, and I wanted to bring, because the NBA All-Star Game is right around the corner, I wanted to bring Pete onto the podcast quickly just so we could kind of help him get his message around town. So really exciting interview with Pete today. I think you'll just be really impressed with who he is and kind of the mentality that he brings or is bringing to the Sports Tank Innovation Studios. So certainly hope you enjoy the podcast today. And as we have recently, just to talk about a few things that are out there on the horizon. Next week, we'll bring Sam Smith. So we'll go off of our every other week schedule. We'll bring Sam Smith in next week since she was supposed to be this week. From there, we'll move. We've got Emir and James from Rabu, great little company here in Charlotte that recently raised a nice round. So we'll do an interview with them. Reminder, next week, the Finsiders is having their annual awards. I believe it's next Wednesday night. QC FinTech is also, again, still in the process of bringing in their team. They should be here in March. Please pay attention to it. We are also doing the Charlotte Angel event, or Connection is doing our annual or our quarterly event. It's going to be set for March 21st from 5:30 to 8 p.m. We'll have John and Lister from Idea Fund Partners here in town to do an on-stage partner pitch. The pitch itself will probably be from 6:30 to 7:30. What that means is we'll have a local entrepreneur on stage with them, and Lister and John will go through a pretty thorough interview process with them over the course of an hour, where they're digging deeper into the company and probing and asking some really good questions of the entrepreneurs. So I hope to have the company named by the podcast for next week, so please stay tuned. We'd love to have you out to see what a professional team does in the due diligence process. So one twist that we have for that, we're also SeedSpark. SeedSpark is a technology and digital solutions company here in South Park, is going to sponsor our first ever entrepreneur date night award. So we'll have startups in attendance vote on who they think is worthy of a $100 gift certificate to a Charlotte area restaurant. So anyway, some cool things going on over the course of the next couple weeks. In the meantime, certainly hope you listen to and enjoy today's podcast with Pete. And for those interested, please see the show notes for an email address to send Pete and his team an email about attending the demo day. It is an invite-only event. So drop Pete and his team an email and go see what it's going to be all about. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks so much for being a listener on the Charlotte Angel Connection.
Welcome to the show today, Pete. Thanks so much for joining us on the Charlotte Angel Connection.
Well, I appreciate you having me, William. Pleasure to be on.
Yeah, no. So quick turnaround here from kind of first meeting you last week, but with all that you have going on here over the course of the next couple of weeks, specifically here in Charlotte, really excited about having you on the show.
Yeah, I'm excited to be on. It is a pretty interesting time for us. We're gearing up hot and heavy for our big event during NBA All-Star Weekend.
So before we dive straight into the big event on NBA All-Star Weekend, which is just a couple weeks away, can you give the audience a little bit of background on who Pete Filo is? You've got one heck of a story and have done an enormous amount of things, and I think people would really like to know some of that backdrop.
Sure. All that really means, William, is that I've traveled a lot. That's all it really means. But I'd be glad to share a little bit about myself and our company and some of our affiliations. We've been really lucky, quite frankly. I from New York originally and played basketball. And then played basketball for a living over in Europe for 7 years professionally. And towards the end of my career, I was very fortunate to have developed a little bit of a trusting, you know, relationship with Donnie Nelson, who was the president of the Dallas Mavericks. And ironically, at the time, right when I was thinking about hanging up my shoes, they were looking for another person that had the ability to identify talent and had some relationships throughout Europe, and I had some of those, and so the timing was just right. I was lucky, and you know, like anything, you know, you have to have some luck in some of these spots, and you know, I had some relationships in Europe, and it was bad for my career, my playing career, actually. I bounced around all over the place, but it was good for post playing career. And then another very lucky thing happened to me. There was a need from Reebok on the basketball side of the company. They were looking for someone to identify and endorse athletes for the NBA you know, market prior or before the competitors did, like Nike and Adidas. And at the time, it was And1. Under Armour wasn't really big in basketball at the time. And so I simultaneously took a position with Reebok as well as the Dallas Mavericks, and Reebok gave me a platform to run with internationally, and we developed a thing called the Reebok Euro Camp, which turned out to be a pretty big deal. It's like the NBA's international pre-draft camp. All the best international players would come through there, and we'd bring all 30 NBA teams over, and they'd evaluate them and go through the draft process. And in my 9 years of running that, we had 82 players drafted in the NBA. So I was able to, you know, put my work out there a little bit. And towards the end, I was also asked by the Chinese. I had a contact in China that was looking for someone to help take over the national team. So I hired a coach, and I was kind of like the general manager and assistant coach and talent evaluator. I kind of did everything for the team outside of coaching it. I hired a guy named Bob Donawald, who's a heck of a coach, coached LeBron James as a rookie, and had a few years in the NBA, and then he's bounced around and coached a lot of different places. But I don't want to bore your listeners with too much about me, but from there, I was able to parlay a lot of that into a nice NBA career. I was an NBA scout for 14 years, 3 with Dallas, 8 with the Minnesota Timberwolves, and my last 3 was with the Indiana Pacers. And been really lucky. I've worked for some great people. You know, I had Kevin McHale in Minnesota. I had Larry Bird and Kevin Pritchard in Indiana. Donnie Nelson in Dallas, and I've just been really lucky. And Tom Schein at who's a sports marketing guru, one of the best in the world. I had him at Reebok. He was the SVP of Reebok at the time, and now he runs XIX Entertainment. But just been really lucky, William. And from there, towards the end, I was just really getting tired of traveling, quite frankly, and it was just beating me up. And, you know, that job requires extensive travel, and it wasn't just domestically; it was internationally. I've been to 75 countries,
wow.
And basically all to evaluate talent. And you know, on one hand, I'm really lucky; I've seen the world. But on the other, it took a lot out of me. There's a lot of sacrifices you have to make in order to do a job like that, and friends, family, hobbies. And so towards the end, I decided that I really enjoy events. I really enjoy sports, business, and I wanted to develop something that could keep me home a little bit more. And so I started TPG Sports Group, I think, about almost seven years ago now. And, you know, it's a sports events company. We've had a lot of success, and we've built some pretty unique things.
So, and wow, that's a lot. And again, just a phenomenal story. And I mean, I think we could spend 5 hours a day on the podcast just talking about the different things that you've just kind of gone and done. But just kind of real quick, while we're talking about kind of your career up to this point in time, you mentioned scouting on a number of occasions, and it's going to come back up again in a few minutes. How did you transition from a player to a scout? How easy or hard was it to start to look for what makes a talented, what gives somebody the talent necessary to potentially get to that next level, right? Just because they have the talent doesn't mean they will. So how hard of a transition for you was it to start doing that?
That is a phenomenal question. It's hard. It was very hard. I was a point guard. I was a bigger point guard that saw the game well. I thought the game. I was a high IQ basketball player, but so I thought I had that part figured out, you know, just from a basketball perspective. But it was a rude awakening. You know, my first scouting assignment, I remember coming back to Donnie's office, and I was so matter of fact. This guy can play, he can't play, he can play, he can't play. And Donnie looked at me and said, "What in the heck are you looking at?" And and I was like, "What are you talking about? You know, he can play, he can't play." And he said, "No, it's October. Like, the draft isn't until June. You haven't seen these guys long enough. You haven't. There's not enough data on them. You haven't. There's not enough information. You haven't got any background intel. We don't even know their medical history yet. Like." You know, you're not doing this job the right way. And so I quickly learned, but I learned from one of the best, you know. And so from that moment, I wasn't great early, and it takes a long time for your eye to train, but or to develop. And so I just I was very cognizant of that, and I tried to come through the backside with it. I basically tried to figure out why people make mistakes on players, and how can I minimize those mistakes? And so I started to really dive into the talent evaluation component, and I took it really serious, and I tried to develop a system, you know, by position for skills that translated. You know, there's 8 components of scouting. You know, talent evaluation is just one of them. There's the background, there's medical, there's the interview process, there's analytics, there's, you know, I can go on and on. But just from a talent evaluation perspective, I wanted to figure that out. And so, you know, it took a few years, quite frankly. And then I felt like I got pretty good at it. And but it takes a while. It definitely does.
How much of it is, and you just said there's 8 components, so... how much of it is drive versus talent, or what nowadays is being called grit, right? And how do you measure, how did y'all measure that in the NBA world?
Did you say drive?
Yeah, drive, like the desire to get better.
Sure. So that's part of it. You know, we call it care factor, and then there's the motor, if a person has a big motor or not. You know, and depending on his age and his development curve, there's so many factors that go into it. And if a player doesn't have a big motor, but he's, you know, a little bit older and just doesn't care as much, but he's really, really, really talented. Chances are, you know, our model, our you know, scouting model says he's probably not going to reach his potential. So there's a lot of factors that go into it, but it's something I enjoyed. But, yeah, there's definitely a lot to it.
Yeah, no, so we'll kind of weave back and forth into that side of things and kind of your future as well. Why Charlotte? So you've been Europe, China, Dallas, Minneapolis, Indiana, and 75 other countries, and you settle down in Charlotte, North Carolina. How come?
Southern girl. Pretty easy answer. But I've been here 14 years. I think going on 15 now, actually. And in fact, while I was the director of scouting for the Timberwolves and the Pacers, I was living in Charlotte. I wasn't living in Minneapolis or Indiana. Now, I did live in Dallas briefly, and then I moved here shortly after. And it was a girl, and I'm happy in Charlotte. I consider Charlotte home, and I love it here.
Yeah. So a girl, and then I guess the inevitable, Charlotte has a pretty good airport, which made your world pretty easy from a travel perspective too, right?
You know, it really did. Now it's obviously getting crowded now, but the airport was very convenient. And then, you know, anytime a scout can drive to a game, it's almost like a day off. Where you don't have to actually go and fly somewhere. And so this is a pretty good basketball region. You know, anytime I could, you know, drive to Durham, Chapel Hill, Raleigh, Winston-Salem, even down to Columbia, and catch a game. You know, sometimes I'd even drive to Kentucky or Louisville or Nashville to see Vanderbilt. I mean, those are a little bit further of a drive, but I'd prefer to drive than fly as much as I've flown. In fact, just a funny fact, I'm not proud of, but I'll share it with you and your listeners. I've actually, we did the math on it one day. I've actually spent 1 year of my life in the air.
Oh, wow. that's a fair amount of time in the air.
Yeah, too much time, actually.
So you're working on something new these days, though, right? So let's kind of start talking a little bit about Sports Tank Innovation Studio and All-Star Weekend. What have you been up to with TPG and everything for the last 5 years, right here in our own backyard, I mean, right here in Charlotte?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've had the events company here for 6-plus years now, and we've done a couple events locally. Some of our events are in different areas around the country. We have our Pro Scout School event in Las Vegas during the NBA Summer League, which is a very convenient time. The NBA world is there. We have a virtual Scout School program, which we've launched in 20 countries, and that's just an online educational program for those that want to learn more about scouting and basketball and player development and all that goes into the NBA level of talent evaluation and scouting. And then we've had some other events that have been kind of offshoots. We did a sports career conference here in Charlotte. We did a master's in coaching clinic where we brought in Fred Hoiberg, Bob Hurley Sr., Fran Fraschilla, some Kenny Atkinson, who's the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets right now. We've brought in quite a few folks. But we've, like anything, you know, as management of a company, you look at from 10,000 feet every year. When you have your staff meeting and try to make some changes and do what's best for your company. And so we've eliminated some things, we've added some things, and now we're in a really, really good place, and we feel really good about TPG Sports Group.
So TPG started off kind of as an event for scouting type stuff, right?
Okay. Not just scouting, no. It was really educating industry leaders of tomorrow is who we are. So it can be anything sports related, and we're giving introductions. We're helping people be educated on the industry and how to navigate the industry of sports.
Okay. That's not perfect. So how did the Sports Tank Innovation Studio Start, and what is it? And let's kind of dive into that for a little while.
Sure. So Sports Tank Innovation Studio is a development platform that offers mentorship, resources, and exposure, which includes a demo day during NBA All-Star Weekend, as well as a boot camp-style retreat that we'll have here in Charlotte towards the end of the year. Sports Tank Innovation Studio started as a one-day event. It was just Sports Tank, and I'm a big fan of Shark Tank, and I used to work for Mark down in Dallas, and just a big fan of the show. And so one day I said to my staff, I said, "Hey, we have relationships in the venture world. We have relationships in sports. We have a far reach internationally, and let's do something like this for sports. There's nothing else out there like it. Let's be the first." Of course, everyone looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, "Well, I think we can really do this." So we did a lot of research, and, you know, we didn't just jump right into it, obviously. But, you know, year one is year one in anything, although it was a lot of fun. And, you know, there was a deal that was offered in year one, which we weren't anticipating, and that company is actually doing really well today. But then we grew it. It's just grown leaps and bounds since year one, and then we had it in Charlotte here for 2 years. The first year was at the Comedy Zone, and the second year was at NASCAR Hall of Fame, which we're going to have demo day this year at NASCAR Hall of Fame, which I think is a fantastic venue. Their high-octane theater is beautiful. Year three and year four,
when was year one, real quick, Pete? Just kind of fill in the gap.
Yeah, I'm not really good with dates, but we're on year
2014?
Five. 2014? Right, so if you're okay. 5, 14, 15, 6, 17, no, I guess, would it be 15?
Okay, okay. Yeah, so it'd be 2015.
This is our fifth year, and it's 19, yeah. So
can't believe it's 19.
I know, me either. So we moved it to New York. We were getting, not pressured, but we were getting a lot of inquiries from, you know, a few different cities, you know, the Silicon Valley, Dallas, Atlanta, and New York, and then a little bit in Chicago as well. And so we moved to New York, and, you know, we've had a lot of success, and we've had some really, really successful people come to the event, very high-level sports executives and investors, and we've just grown it. And then after last year is when people really thought that we could do more, and we thought we could do more, and we just wanted to make sure we had the structure the right way. And so we spent a couple months and really prepared the Innovation Studio, which is essentially a full year platform. It's like a virtual accelerator type of program. We're almost like a hybrid, William, between like an incubator and an accelerator. And so now the companies that will participate, we just selected our five companies this week, actually, and that press release will go out on the 29th, which will be next Tuesday, and those will be announced. And those five companies will participate in the program, and we'll have monthly mentorship sessions. They will not have to move to Charlotte. It's virtual. They'll come to Charlotte two times throughout the year, one being demo day and the second time being at our boot camp, which will be a two-day retreat style where we prior identify some of the needs of the companies, and when we're here in Charlotte, we'll address those needs with some special guests and some different meetings that we'll have set up and that sort of thing.
Gotcha. So the class, the five, you said five companies, right, were selected,
right,
and will be announced next Tuesday on the 29th? And then they'll do – they're the five that will do their demo day 3 weeks later, the All-Star Weekend. Is that correct?
That is correct. All-Star Weekend,
okay.
During All-Star Weekend, we'll have our demo day, and we have three very well-known sports executives that will be on stage as advisors and Kevin Pritchard, who's the president of the Indiana Pacers, Lauren Hamlin, who runs the innovation department at Under Armour, and Marcus Colston, who's a former wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints, mm-hmm. and is very, very much into the sports entrepreneurial space, and he runs the Dynasty Innovations. And so we're really lucky. And then, of course, the room is going to be full of investors and venture capitalists, sports executives. You know, we had the CEO and founder of Sport Radar, RSVP, several people from the NBA League office, athletes. There's a bunch of former and current athletes that are coming, and agents that represent players. That's a big part of, you know, the influencer space right now, with athletes are more and more educated on the sports startup space, and they're intrigued by it, and so more are playing in the space. So it's a lot of fun to have them there as well. You know, Pepsi is coming, and I mean, I can keep going on and on, but it's going to be a lot of people in the crowd that night. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It sounds like a whole bunch of energy, Pete. Is it open to the public? Can people buy tickets? Is it invitation only? How does obviously, you've got some high quality people in the office or in the audience, and I would imagine you want to keep it the same way. But for folks in Charlotte that are interested, is there a way for them to gain entrance?
Sure. So it is not open to the public. However, we do encourage, that if people are interested, if they're in the space, whether it be investors or, even if it's in marketing groups or people that are involved in the space, absolutely, they can reach out to us, and we'd be more than happy to send a private RSVP link to them.
Okay.
And we'd see them at the event. You know, obviously, time is getting short. We're over halfway full in the auditorium already, and it'll be completely full.
That's awesome. So we'll include an email link for folks to reach out to you directly if that's the case.
Sure.
Then. Let's see. What types of companies are coming through? Are you seeing applications from then, Pete? Is it only basketball companies? Is it what's the range and everything else from that perspective?
Sure. No, I'm actually glad it's not just basketball companies. I don't know if we'd have a business. This has been also a very interesting learning, time for me, because when we get something in the virtual reality or artificial intelligence, augmented reality space, I have to consult with some friends that are in the industry that know this a little bit more than I do, in order to make the right selections. And so we get a lot of fan engagement. You know, people are trying to figure out how to monetize, you know, the 80,000 people that are at a football game, or the 25,000 people that are at a basketball game and hockey and baseball, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so facial recognition companies that are able to figure out things, you know, within the stadium and then, you know, work with brands and sponsors to figure out how to monetize that for the team as well as for the company. Injury prevention, esports, betting, we get everything. So it's a lot of fun. I can't tell you how much fun I'm having, especially going through the selection process. Sometimes, you know, you feel like you're breaking someone's heart, of course, because you know you're not going to select them, and they're a pretty good company, and that's hard. But you know, I take my draft room experience honestly, and rank companies on a board, and we have our top five, and then we have our reserve list, and we really we had 303 companies apply from 18 countries this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. And so at that point, you know, there's probably 100 and some change right off the bat that you can eliminate. The quicker you eliminate the non-investable companies, the quicker you're going to get down to ones you feel pretty serious about. But even when you get down to 75 eventually, that takes a long time to go from 75 to 5. It's a lot of due diligence. We're making a lot of phone calls, a lot of conference calls. We're you know, sharing some information privately with a couple people in the space, or you know, maybe some venture capitalists that are in the space, or some teams or agencies or league representatives that may be able to better inform us on, you know, like, for example, without giving exact names, you know, there was a couple companies that we felt were pretty interesting, but there was a particular league that already had a partnership with a similar company, and so I contacted somebody from that particular league and said, "This is something that you wouldn't be open to at all, because you're already in a partnership with, you know, company X." And so I'd get that information, and that helps, you know. And really, at the end of the day, it helps to have the relationships we do across sports. And if we don't have a relationship with, just for an example, let me think of one. The Atlanta Braves, we can get to the Atlanta Braves probably within 3 phone calls. So that's also helpful.
No, I mean, your background, and then, I mean, of course, those that you surround yourself with too. I mean, right. I mean, you've got Marcus Colston, he mentioned up on the stage, and obviously that's a football presence. And if you didn't have a really good football presence before, I'm sure you do almost immediately as a result of that.
Sure, exactly.
So what did you think it was, you know, you launch it, you kind of thought about Shark Tank. Was this kind of your goal for all along, Pete, was for it to grow into this, or what was your initial expectation for it?
Well, the initial expectation was let's run a very healthy event for the best sports startups in the world. And let's go from there. Let's just see what it, you know, what happens. And the market told us, you know, and you know, there was a need. We did a little research on the sports accelerators that are out there, and the one thing that kept coming back to us, especially from some companies that participated in a few accelerators, were that they didn't like to move. It actually, you know, uprooting themselves took more away from them than helped them, you know. And so now there's some real positives out there. Don't get me wrong. There's some fantastic sports accelerators out there. But we felt that with our relationships and the way we're structured, we felt we could be the top in the industry.
Yeah. So as you kind of continue to go forward, or as you continue in that direction from kind of a one-day event into an accelerator, to your point, what you said earlier, you didn't have venture capital experience, right? You evaluated talent for a really long time in relationship to basketball. But how did you start to put together the pieces for, we're going to run this accelerator that's going to be 12 months long, and we're going to do a really fantastic job at it. And, you know, now all of a sudden start nurturing these companies through a 12-month process.
Well, when our old model was, there was a contingency on if a company got a deal at the event. And what we found was that if, let's say, a company did not get a deal, but they're really interesting and we've developed a little bit of a relationship over the, you know, the process, they'd be asking for our help after the event. And as much as we want to help them, you know, we have a business to run. And and so we said to ourselves, boy, there's a lot of companies that need help. They don't, you know, it's harder for companies to deliver or land partnerships. It really is. It's harder than raising capital. And so, you know, the number one reason startups fail is because they run out of money. And I don't look at that as raising money. I look at it as running out of money because they haven't been able to establish, you know, certain revenue streams or certain partnerships. I think that's the real reason. And so, for that reason, we've thought there was a real need. And when there's a need, you know, there's a problem, if you can solve it, chances are you can have some success. So we're really excited about the program.
So not bad. So on that point earlier, you mentioned you took a contingency if they raise money at the event historically. How does Sports Tank Innovation Studio make money? Is it do you take a percentage of the equity, or is it still kind of an event-based platform?
Sure. So it's we give them two options, and obviously I cannot disclose exactly what it is, but yeah, there's two options.
Oh yeah, of course.
One is equity, and the second one is equity and a cash component for 12 months. Yep.
Okay. So fantastic. So we talked on Friday, and I told you this, that you've managed, at least in my world, to fly under the radar to a certain extent, kind of in the investor circle here in Charlotte. Is that by intent? And if not, how can we help change it a little bit? And in this event in of itself, we'll imagine I do phenomenal things for kind of raising your profile in TPG and Sports Tank Innovation Studio here in Charlotte. But do you want the local investor community to know about what you're up to?
Most certainly. It's we haven't been hiding. So when we had the event here, we reached out to as many people that we felt were in the direct space, and some of the that's one of the reasons we moved to New York. We felt like there were more sports specific investors up in that area. However, we'd be more than open. The people that are typically interested in sports specific investments know about us, and they find it, or they can find us. We're nationally and globally known in the sports space. So, for example, we have already 20 sports-specific venture capitalists or private equity investors RSVP to the event, and we're still 3 weeks away. We expect there to be much more, and that's a great number already, especially I think 18 are not local. And I think the other two aren't even Charlotte based. I think they're one's Atlanta, and I want to say one's in the Triangle area. But we hope the local community gets more engaged. Our doors are wide open, and we're very welcoming.
You mentioned you've got VCs that'll be there, I generically thought of it when we talked last week. That Nike, Under Armour, Reebok would be potential acquirers of it because that's my limited scope of knowing sports, right? Who looks to acquire these companies, right? Who are they trying to grow up and sell out to? Is it your traditional Nike, Under Armour, or is it just you're talking esports and gambling and everything else. That's a pretty wide market out there, right?
Exactly. It's a very broad group, for anything from esports and betting and virtual reality, fan engagement, like I said, injury prevention. There's athlete performance. There's so many different verticals. And, it can be an Amazon. It could be a Samsung. It could be a Pepsi. It could be shoe companies. It could be professional teams. It could be FanDuel, DraftKings, insurance companies, Blue Star, Stack Sports, it could be anybody. It's very broad, and so that's probably the best answer I could give you.
Do you have so as the companies come through and are going through the program, is there a wide range of mentors that you work with that come in and help those companies, or is it mainly the staff that y'all have on hand, or how do you help how are you planning on helping those five companies that are running through the program over the course of the next 12 months?
Sure. So what we don't do is disclose on our website the actual mentors. Obviously, we have our team and all of our experience, and you see our board of directors. That's very well known on our website, and then our reach. You know, our reach is, we feel, greater than anybody else out there. And so, yeah, that's it. I mean, that's how we help. That's exactly how we help. You know, we have a reach internationally as well. And so, you know, through this mentorship program, we're first identifying what their needs are, and then from there, strategically making a very detailed plan over that 12 months. And you know, we're excited about the program, and we feel like we really offer a great value to these companies.
Now, do you take pre-revenue companies through the accelerator, or do they have to have some type of traction, or what are some of your qualifications to get through Pete?
Yeah, we have a I wouldn't say an official algorithm, but we do have a we do have a pretty unique system that you know incorporates a weighted scale system from, you know, the founder and team to market size to sales and traction. You know, are they unique? Do they solve a problem? Do they have early investments? Do they, you know, affect the human impact at all? So there's a pretty unique formula, let's say, that we go by. But yeah, we prefer them a little bit further along. That's not to say we wouldn't take any that are super super early, but typically we don't.
Okay. No, that makes sense. So you've got a really diverse background from a scouting perspective and playing days perspective and all kinds of other things that you've done. What surprises you most about the startups, right? The founders. I mean, you had 303 teams apply. And what's been kind of the biggest surprise to you?
Well, really what surprised me is the scope in which these innovation has grown and is growing around the world. You know, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, professional sports were closed to the outside world. I mean, it was, you know, we do what we do, and you can't get a meeting with us. We have our system. We're happy with what we do. We're fine. Now it's a hyper competitive landscape through all sports, from the youth categories to the college to club to international to professional. And you know, if a professional team brings in a technology that gives them a competitive advantage, well, the next team is going to do it, and it's a copycat, you know, world in professional sports. All 30 NBA teams will do it, or all 32 NFL teams will do it immediately. So from that standpoint, I've been really impressed with how people are figuring out how to solve problems in the sports space and how to enhance the offerings. And you know, one of our companies this year is a facial recognition company from India, you know, we're really fired up about them. You know, we can't wait till they get here and pitch on stage. But yeah, they're flying all the way from India, so it's pretty unique. I love seeing the new innovation. You know, some of the stuff that's out there now that you know, for example, the betting. You know, how that's becoming legal, and it seems like every other day there's a new state that's legal, and the companies that are coming out of nowhere with these different ideas and platforms. It's really fun. We will have two companies in the betting space as well that we're really excited about.
Are the leagues scared of that though, Pete, to a certain extent, the betting within the game, or do they see it as a way to better engage and enhance the fan experience?
Absolutely. From what I understand, of course, the leagues were intimidated and a little bit scared, and it was an absolute no for many years. But now, once they figured out how to regulate it and monetize it, rev share, and of course engage more fans. They've figured out how to make it work, and I think it's only going to get bigger. I don't think we'll see the peak of that in the next 10 years by any means. It's going to be really, really big.
Yeah. What's different in evaluating talent in a startup and evaluating an 18-year-old kid on the basketball court?
That's a really good question. Well,
I mean, obviously you don't have to do a medical exam, or I don't know, maybe you do, but
right. Well, you know, I can take out, the risks a little easier with a basketball player, because there are certain things that I know if they can't do, they're automatically out. Whereas a startup, you know, there may be something that they don't do well, but if the founder and his team are really, really buttoned up and smart people that work hard and are extremely dedicated, and they solve a problem, you know, then chances are they're going to be okay, you know. So it's like, it's different. It's much different. But I am definitely enjoying the process.
But I would imagine, I mean, without question, just your process and kind of attention to detail that you went through in scouting, you know, quote unquote, the kids on the court, certainly comes over in helping you establish a process and detail and just the thorough nature that you're going to go through to kind of vet the companies that come through, right?
Absolutely, William, and that's, you're exactly right. You know what? One thing that that did carry over was, you know, don't let anything slip through the cracks. Even when something may not look so good from the outside, and you want to eliminate quickly, you can't do that. You know, I've seen teams and people make mistakes, you know, on the basketball side by doing that, and so you dig a little deeper. And I do that with the companies. And same with the companies that may look good and it may have a really good-looking deck. You know, everyone's got these unbelievably colorful and sexy decks that they send now. And, you know, you don't want to be fooled. And so you dig deeper and deeper and try to figure out the you know, most you can through your research.
Will you grow this into a multiple accelerator program? I mean, in other words, you know, right now you've got your demo day that'll be, you know, a couple weeks of the All-Star game here in Charlotte. Will you grow it to another one where demo day starts at All-Star weekend for MLB, or do you think running one accelerator at a time is enough for right now?
I don't have that answer. I think you know what, the way we like to do things at TPG Sports Group is to, you know, have a really healthy program or event, and usually our calendar year ends at mid July. So after our Scout School event in Las Vegas, we come back. We clean up the books. We, you know, we do our post-event wrap-up and thank yous and all the fun stuff. And then we look down from 10,000 feet and we evaluate. We have a little company retreat and we evaluate everything in the company for about a week. And we just rip it apart and make sure we're doing everything the right way. And so we'll evaluate it at that point. You know, we'll see how the program's going at that point. I don't foresee any big changes with that. But you never know. You know, here we are with a program right now. So we'll see. Maybe, you know, 2 years from now, we'll see if there's an expansion opportunity.
In other words, I'll reach back out to you in early August and kind of get an update on what things look like for the future TPG.
Yeah, knowing me, Yeah, see, right now I'll turn around on my other side of my whiteboard here. I want to see there's nine things on that. I call it the hopper. And in the hopper, we have nine things. And the hopper is basically just ideas or different offerings that people have offered us to do, partnerships, or it could be an idea that we have, an offshoot of something we're currently doing that we could build on. But, you know, like anything, you know, anytime you add something to the portfolio, you have to add staff, or it definitely has to have time, add time. And so sometimes you don't want to spread too thin. That can be a dangerous thing. So we're really comfortable in our pace right now.
Were you involved in all, or prior to kind of getting this thing up and running, were you an active kind of early stage investor? Were you familiar with venture capital or angel investing, or even private equity from that perspective? Was this kind of your first foray down into that space?
Sure. Very familiar. Have been involved with some things in the past. I have not personally invested, but as what we're called super advisors, right? And so as a super advisor,
yeah.
we're very much in the space, and that's where our investment comes from.
That's a crazy world, isn't it? I mean, a completely different concept of, one out of 10 or whatever the hit rate is, especially on the smaller early stage stuff, right? And it's just completely different language to learn in the same process from, what type of investment they're going to take. Is it a convertible note? Is it preferred? Is it common? What are the waterfall provisions and dilution rates and all of that stuff is just just a completely different set of skills and knowledge to know about.
Absolutely. And thank goodness I have a little bit of business degree background comes in handy. But, we also have a really good team, a very knowledgeable team. And, our attorneys do really good work as well. And so we're lucky to have a good group.
Yeah. Pete, where'd you go to school? Where'd you
Manhattan
play ball?
College. I went to Manhattan College in New York City, and then I transferred to University of South Alabama in Mobile. So two extremes.
Okay.
Yeah, played for Fran Fraschilla up in Manhattan, and I played for Bill Musselman, a very famous coach down in South Alabama, and then I obviously went overseas.
Yeah. What was your most memorable experience on the court in college?
I don't have many. I wasn't very good in college. I caught a break, to be honest with you, after. I got in a fight.
How'd you catch your break?
just caught a break. There was a just happened to be working out in the New York region after my last year playing in some pickup, kind of a small tournament deal, and there was a scout from Denmark there that was friends with a coach and said, hey, they're getting ready to get rid of their American. They're not happy with them, and they need a point guard. Would you be available? I said, well, I'm definitely available. But I researched a little bit and found out the guy was averaging 40 points a game. I said, well, that's not really me, but, I said, no, we want a guy that's more a setup guy that plays the right way, make a shot, plays the right way. That guy was just taking too many shots, and they had some national team players on their team, so they wanted to get more of a distributor. And anyways, long story short, I got the gig, and then I was really lucky. I played really well, won a championship my first year with the team, and then that enabled me to get a little bit more exposure. And then I went to Lebanon, and then I went to Croatia and Poland and Iceland, and had a fun career.
What did you think you were going to do after school, Pete? You certainly didn't think you'd be running an accelerator at this stage of your life, but besides hopefully playing in the NBA, what were kind of your thoughts on post-college?
Sure. Well, like any you know, 20-something year old, you can't see 2 inches in front of your face. So I obviously was basketball was on the forefront, and I was focused on that. I was always tinkering with different events and things, platforms. I love putting things together, and I love the sports business. I was always curious. Every place that I played, I always ran some type of little clinic or basketball school of some sort, and I never sat idle. And so I think it's just curiosity got me, to be honest with you. And then, like I said, I was really lucky to bounce around in one sense because I was building a lot of relationships, but it was bad for my career, I think, as a basketball player. And so, you know, once I got done, you know, getting into the scouting enabled me to also just build this unbelievable network. And, of course, the EuroCamp helped tremendously. I don't want to, you know, minimize that whatsoever. That actually put me in a really unique position because all 30 NBA teams had to come through myself and my staff in order to get information and get credentialed and that sort of thing. And so, you know, I was one of the very few people in the league that could, you know, develop relationships with someone on every NBA team. And that's helped. Mm-hmm. That's helped a lot. It's opened up a lot of doors. It's given me opportunities that I'm really thankful for. And it's also helped, you know, our portfolio companies because we can get them in front of people pretty quickly. And that gives us a little bit of an advantage.
Yeah, not bad. So, I mean, essentially, you know, you ran events and from a very early age and running those events, you know, indirectly put you in a place to run more events and be invited to do things and ultimately to start and found TPG and continue to push it forward from here.
Exactly.
So, you call it lucky, and I'll just look at it as somebody that kept doing good things. And, you know, if you keep doing good things and put one foot in front of another, luck seems to have its way of circling around you a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's what they say. So I just keep working hard and treat people the right way. That's a really, really important thing inside our office is it's mandatory. You know, we surround ourselves with good people. You know, there's a great book, Legacy. It's about the New Zealand All Blacks rugby. And they're the most winningest sports franchise in the history of sports. They have a roughly 76% winning percentage. You know, when I ask that question, most people think it's the Yankees or the Cowboys or the Lakers or the Celtics or something like that. And it's actually
or the
dang
Patriots.
And so, yeah, or the Patriots, right? So, but New Zealand All Blacks is the answer, and they have some foundational principles, and one of them is hire good people. And you know, good people are better people make better, you know, husbands, wives, doctors, lawyers, workers, players, teammates. And so we bring in good people and we surround ourselves with good people. I've made concessions, you know, like for example, like there was a company in this year's group that was in our top five. But after talking to the founder was very combative and challenging, and they weren't even selected yet. We were just doing some calls and getting to know them and getting to know our top 10, and this one happened to be in our top five. And I said to our guys, I said, we're going to pass. You know, we're going to pass. I don't want to be around people that are a bit challenging like that. So good people, better people usually end up making life a little easier.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I have a standing joke when somebody asks me what type of client I'm looking to work with, and my first rule of thumb is the part of my language is the no asshole policy, right? So I don't want to work with bad people. I want to work with good ones.
That's right.
So you surround yourself with good people. You never know what happens. Are your off or your accelerator program is virtual. Is your are your employees virtual too, or are y'all all housed here in Charlotte?
we're completely virtual. No, no. We have a office in Matthews, and there's a few of us in the office here. There's four of us in the office currently right now.
Well, then the obvious question for you then is, you know, are you hiring? Because I know there'd probably be a bunch of good quality people here locally, and that, you know, would be interested in, you know, what y'all are doing from a, and these sports is intriguing to a lot of people, right? So is that, y'all looking to fill positions?
Well, we actually just hired somebody 3 months ago, our director of operations.
Okay.
And so at the moment, no, but we are growing. And so as we grow and, you know, add and expand, we most certainly will be. So just, you know, keep an eye on our website and different things, our social channels. We're very active on Twitter and Instagram, but you could definitely see our offerings there.
Yeah. So we're coming up on the end of our time, so just kind of maybe one, two last questions for you here. What would make a successful demo day for you here in a couple weeks? I mean, obviously, is it as simple as just continuing to build on the momentum that you brought from New York? I mean, this is a little bit different, right? Because the last two that you've done have been in New York. You know, capital, the capital of the world, right? From a money perspective, is it just building on that momentum, even though you're not inside, quote unquote, New York City? Is it somebody having money thrown on them at the stage? What makes for, you know, what makes a successful Sports Tank Innovation Studio day here in a couple weeks?
Sure. So demo day, the number one factor for us, the importance is the exposure that day in particular. You know, we're obviously in a full year program now, so that we'll be addressing a lot of needs throughout the year. But exposure, and you know, with our RSVP list right now, with, you know, we have conference commissioners coming, we have, you know, agents coming, and athletes, and I mentioned a few other people. You know, the president of Octagon, John Shea, is coming. You know, it's just a unique group of people, and obviously, you know, being doing it during you know, the All-Star weekend is helpful because there's a lot of people in town. But exposure, and you know, what I mean by that is, of course, you want your company to pitch well and get across exactly who they are and exactly what they do, and paint a really pretty picture of what's in the pipeline for this company and why they make a difference and why they're unique and why they're special. And from that, hey, not everyone's going to be interested because it'd be somebody that's just in a completely different space. But those that are in the space that it could potentially affect or they could have interest, we want them to have meetings. So all of our companies, we've advised them to come in a day early because we're all going to get together and we're going to, you know, have a little meeting and talk about the next couple days. And, of course, demo day they'll pitch and we'll have a private social right after the event where hopefully some of the folks that are in attendance will come over. And then what you look for is you hope that those interested will ask for meetings, and away they go. You know, you want them to have some meetings, and whether it's if they're raising capital or if it's their some specific partnerships that they could be, you know, available to. And so we tell them to or ask them to stay until Sunday so that Saturday is a full day of potential meetings for them.
Gotcha. So come in on Thursday, stay till Sunday, kind of 4 days, and then they'll come back in a couple months for the retreat that you mentioned earlier.
Correct. Yep.
And then obviously they'll have meetings all along the way over the course of the next 12 months.
Yes.
So, well, man, that's, you know, having the All-Star weekend here in Charlotte, it's really cool for the city of Charlotte.
It's perfect timing for you, right? I mean, it's almost like 2 years ago wouldn't have been a good time. So
you're exactly right.
not that you want a fight in our state's capital to personally benefit you, but I mean, it just seems like the stars kind of align to give you a little bit of runway up in New York and then bring it back down here to Charlotte. And then after this year, you'll just kind of follow the All-Star game around for the next, to the next 28 cities.
Exactly. Yep.
So, that's awesome. It sounds like you've got a phenomenally interesting background. Your experience as a scout, doesn't directly port over, but it is a really nice kind of background to have to kind of come in and look at talent from a different perspective. And I'm excited for you. I think this next 12 months is going to be really fun with these five companies. I can't wait until the announcement next week just to see, you know, what y'all have coming through and then seeing some of the companies pitch on stage here in a couple of weeks as well. So, man, I wish you a boatload of success and a boatload of fun. And it certainly sounds like you're going to have both of them here over the next 12 months, Pete.
Well, I appreciate you, William, and thanks for having me on. I've really enjoyed it. And, yeah, I, like I said, for those interested, our email address is info@tpgsportsgroup. Again, info@tpgsportsgroup.com. And we'd gladly answer any questions, and hopefully we can get some of the local folks that are in the space over to enjoy a nice event.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I will. I'll include that in the show notes and pass it along to a few folks that I know that would certainly qualify and be interested.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Pete. Good luck. See you soon.
Okay. Thanks, William. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
William Bissett is an investment advisor representative with Seacrest Blakey & Associates, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Seacrest Blakey & Associates. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Seacrest Blakey & Associates does not offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance. Investments described herein may be speculative and may involve a substantial risk of loss. Interests may be offered only to persons who qualify as accredited investors under the Securities Act and a qualified purchaser as defined in Section 2A, Paragraph 51, Line A, under the Company Act or an eligible employee of the management company. There generally is no public market for the interests. Prospective investors should particularly note that many factors affect performance, including changes in market conditions and interest rates, and other economic, political, or financial developments. Past performance is not and should not be construed as indicative of future results.